Hello, welcome to a beautiful podcast to fall in love, an unofficial Bachelor Nation show from TV Guide. I'm Liam Matthews, and joining me in TV Guide Mansion is my co-host from Ari Season and Bachelor in Paradise, the girl with the pearl earring, Jacqueline Trumbull.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm not gonna lie to you, Liam, I'm a little drunk.
A little drunk?
I'm drinking in my hotel room.
Well, you were just watching the Bachelorette, so that's fine.
Exactly. I just had my viewing party with my friend Valerie. It was passionate. I mean, because like it was her first time watching The Bachelorette, and you always get those new converts who think it's going to be the dumbest show ever, but then they get really into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Valerie is joining the cult. Seventeen years on. So you're in Cambodia now, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Have they ever been to Cambodia on any of these shows? I don't know.
Not that I know of. It's actually a very difficult place to do this kind of show from because the cities are not particularly developed and the landscape is littered with landmines that the United States dropped during the Vietnam War. So it's actually, you have to go in like very, very defined places like Angkor Wat, and that's a very heavily touristed place. So it would be a difficult country.
Well,
on a lighter note.
Yeah, so this week, Hara's Casino.
You're drunk.
I might be.
I'm drunk.
This week, Hannah narrowed it down to her final four. Jed, Tyler, Pilot Peter, and Luke.
I just want to say, we predicted it would be Luke in the final four, I feel like, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I changed my mind and said it was Garrett, but I was tripping. It was always Luke. Mm-hmm. So they went to the Netherlands, where Hannah told Jed she's falling in love with him. She told Tyler that he needs to open up more. And she told Mike and Connor to hit the road. The group date was Peter, Garrett, and Luke. And Garrett got in Luke's head and got him to raise his voice and threaten him. And it was very funny.
Very funny.
But Hannah picked Luke over Garrett because there's something about this potentially violent, sexist creep that she can't resist.
Yeah.
So my first question for you is, how do you think Hannah did this week?
I mean, she did fine. There were a couple, that I thought were very interesting. Like when she's having her last 20 minutes or really 10 minutes with Garrett that she's ever going to spend with him. And she gives absolutely no hint that she's going to send him home. I found that really fascinating. Because she didn't, I mean, and it was also very odd how completely she seemed to fall for Luke's bullshit this episode. Like, there wasn't really any questioning about it. And she literally said, I just don't understand why these men are so mean to you. You know, it was just like crazy. Yeah. Just crazy. It's like, because she has understood and all of a sudden she doesn't. She seemed very uncomfortable on the mic date. Understand? I mean, yeah. You know, because she knew it was going to, like, she knew before she went on that date what was going to happen. I don't know if anything else. I thought the most interesting part of the episode was probably her date with Jed. I mean, from a Hannah being interesting perspective.
Yeah. No, it's ever since you said she's the most herself with Jed, I've been noticing that.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very interesting. We'll talk about it in a second, but it was a very interesting date with Jed, even though he is still not interesting at all. Except for what he does off screen.
Oh, we'll definitely get to that.
Yeah.
But that's a good point that she gave Garrett no indication that she was about to break up with him. And he had just told her that he was in love with her. And she was like, oh, that's nice. And then, you know, it seemed like moments later, she came back and really had no hesitation about what she had to do. She knew.
Very odd.
Garrett was gone.
Yeah. Very odd. Can but I just also, say, I loved Garrett this episode also.
Yeah.
I just Instagram storied at him. Very sexy photo of me eating a flower aggressively with glasses on. So, hi, Garrett.
Hi, Garrett. I guess that brings us to the second question. Mm-hmm. What was funnier, 5'8 villain or baloney?
Oh, my God. The 5'8 villain thing was very funny. Very funny. Not because he's short. My boyfriend's shorter than 5'8". But it was very funny to see Tyler make that, to hit that below the belt, and for it to just kind of feel like it wasn't mean, you know? It was just, things have deteriorated to such a stupid point, it doesn't even matter what you say.
Yeah. it wasn't even like as you know, I'm 5'7", so like I get it.
Yeah.
And it was, but I didn't feel like Tyler was like denigrating short guys in general. I think he was just like knew that that would irritate Luke because yeah. Luke is so clearly insecure about so many things, and then his height is going to be one of them.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they've tried hitting him so many other ways and in so many other spots, and this is what's so great about Tyler is he's so chill and laid back. He just says the thing that we're all ready to say before we think we are, you know? And so he just got to a point where he's like, I don't know, we're all kind of thinking it. <You know>? People literally, we're talking about it on social media for weeks because they saw a photo of him with the other guys. They're like, is this guy's, like, you know, short or whatever? Which is like, it, you know, again, like, it shouldn't be an insult, but it's just this guy. It's like he has an actual Napoleon complex. I mean, yeah. The villain always seems extremely narcissistic, so I don't like diagnosing people as that. But he is so, you know, like Tyler said, he's such a big dog. Like, he's always stomping around. So it's just very funny to hit him in a sort of meaningless but probably does mean something to Luke way. It was entertaining. And it, in such a dismissive way. Very, very.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't matter because you're short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the only group I identify with. Short men.
Hey, I have theories about short men.
Oh, yeah?
I think they have pretty faces and big dicks. I don't know if that should be edited out or not. I'm pretty drunk. But it's been confirmed repeatedly. It's your choice, oh, Liam, whether nice. To leave that in or not. It's your choice.
Oh, that's lovely. That makes me feel good.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, but we have seen, it's also not even true that villains are usually tall, because there have been short villains before. Do you remember Alex from JoJo season?
He wasn't a true villain, though. He was just the kind of, like, putz. You just wanted to smack away true. Like a mosquito.
He became the villain later on.
Mm-hmm.
After Chad left.
Yeah, yeah. But he was one of those villains that's just like, you know, they lost their storyline. They're like, I guess we'll just aggravate this guy because he's like,
yeah,
so stupid, you know?
Yeah, he was a real Napoleon complex guy.
Yeah.
And then they put him in that little gaucho outfit. It was so embarrassing.
That's pretty good.
But also, but there was Bologna too.
What?
Bologna was also very, very funny.
Well, because that whole scene seemed so overacted. And this isn't acted. So it was really weird to watch that. Like, that's what Valerie said. She's like, did he just overact that? And I'm like, yeah, but you're not supposed to. I mean, like, they don't feed you lines. Like, you're not supposed to be acting on this show. So I don't know how that works. I mean, he literally got up and in his head, he's just like, I'm going to try to be macho now. And then he was baloney. I mean, it was really odd.
Right. And his lines were like lines, right? He was like, you disgust me.
Right. What?
And that's how he said it. It was like, he just doesn't know how to talk to people, I guess. I don't know. He doesn't know how to be a normal person. But the baloney thing was so funny.
Yeah.
It really made me LOL.
I was surprised that Garrett leaned in. He's like, baloney, you're baloney. That's your, I'm like, Garrett, you're better than that. Come on. Let's regroup.
Also, it was like Luke already said that.
Right, I know.
He already made the same joke better than you made it. So, like,
Garrett's biggest joke will always be just staring at Luke and laughing at him. So, you definitely do not want to lean into Luke's joke. That's not the right move. That was Garrett's only bad moment of the episode. Every other moment was good.
Yeah, the finger guns. Hysterical.
His exit was fantastic. Fantastic. And he's the only one thus far, I think, that has mentioned Hannah's perpetual frostbitten, adorable nose.
She's got a little Rudolph nose.
A little Rudolph nose. I know.
Yeah.
All right, what are we supposed to talk about now?
Who do you think Hannah smashed in a windmill? Because she said this. Did you catch this? It was like a very brief moment in...
I noticed him. I thought he called her a windmill or something, so I thought that was like some weird metaphor for her being a slut and like letting people like go through her like a revolving door or something, but you're probably right. It was probably in a windmill. That makes more sense. That
it was hard to parse because I even like it was just sort of odd. Like it seemed like it what I took was that she was saying that she had sex with one of the other guys in a windmill twice.
Oh, and we also got confirmation from the preview that he at least makes it to Fantasy Suites.
Yes, and then gets eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still, yeah. I mean, there's no, they do this thing, right, where they make you believe that someone gets eliminated. They did this with me, and then they don't actually get eliminated.
Mm.
But there's no way he's top two, so he has to.
No, but I really think that is it. I think they're showing you him getting eliminated so that you don't bail. Like, it's like, no, don't worry, he doesn't win.
Oh,
like,
yeah, please. And then I guess the twist with him is that he comes back with a ring.
I'm sure he comes back.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, but even, like, he'll do, like, one last sort of Hail Mary, and then she'll, you know, just be like, no, it's over.
I like that his last Hail Mary is to slut-shame her one more time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. Hannah's cool. But she says she had sex with somebody in a windmill. Which leads me to believe it happened this week, because they were in Holland, famous for windmills. But we didn't see anybody. We didn't see any windmills. We didn't see anybody go into any windmills. Nobody went on a windmill in their date. So I don't know.
That would be a very interesting edit, because it would be extremely significant for that to happen. I mean, you don't have access to The Bachelor unless you specifically ask for it like Connor did. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know at what point. I mean, they would have had to remove so much footage and then somehow rewrite that narrative later on, you know, without any evidence of it having happened.
Yeah.
But it looks like they do Fantasy Suites in Greece.
Mm.
I mean, that I got that from the background of a shot of Luke complaining or something. Mm-hmm. And I don't know of windmills in Greece, but
no,
not like I'm an expert.
Yeah. Maybe it was a windmill somewhere else. Maybe it was
a
wind farm.
The most likely.
Maybe it was Ted Kennedy's wind farm off the coast of Massachusetts.
That would be pretty cool.
He didn't have a wind farm. He was mad at a wind farm.
Well, the most likely scenario is that she has a one-on-one date in a windmill, a la, you know, like Becca and Ari had their date in a tent in the middle of the desert, where, by the way, there was no bathroom. That's been confirmed. And, you know, they had sex a couple of times, and then Luke was her next fantasy suite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That could be it.
And then he comes back the next week proposing.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems weird to go on a, you know, if you're gonna do a windmill date,
yeah,
you do it in the Netherlands.
Well, you'd think if you had a Dutch bachelor, you would do it in the Netherlands too, but...
All right, so... We're going to take a break, but before we go to the break, I just want to give you a warning. We're going to talk spoilers. We're going to talk about, leaks about the ending. If you don't want to hear that, if you want to remain unspoiled, stop listening now. We'll miss you, but we understand.
We will miss you.
Back after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back. And just want to reiterate, there's a spoiler warning. You've been warned. We wouldn't normally talk about spoilers. We usually try to avoid this, but we have to here because this spoiler is so big that it's impossible to avoid online, and it's affecting how we're watching the show. So, like, you know, there are other probably other things, you know, like who gets eliminated next. You know, stuff like that, that we will not talk about. I prefer to watch it unspoiled. But this one, you know, People Magazine reported on it and blah, 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 blah. So the story is, well, we're going to, Jacqueline, Aliza, our producer, she's going to explain it to us because she listened to the podcast with Reality Steve. So she has the full story. So what happened, Aliza?
Hi. So I absolutely believe Haley Stevens, who was Jed's girlfriend. What happened was they met in October. They had their first date in November. They dated all the way through Christmas. She threw him a surprise party. They went to the Bahamas, which I'm sure you guys have seen the photo from the People magazine article. And apparently that is where they said their first official I love yous in the Bahamas. She said he seemed sincere. And that is also where he got the call to go on the show. So once he went on the show, they lost touch completely.
And he told her it was just going to be to promote his music career.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And her stance was, OK, go promote your music career and then come home. But then he ended up completely just ghosting her. And she was finding out about everything that was going on from online leaks, like the Reality Steve. And that's also where she found out they were engaged. And she was...
So this is the thing, this is the spoiler, that Jed and Hannah got engaged. Jed is the final one.
Yes. And she found out about that online. And she also found out that there was another girl that Jed was sleeping with that Reality Steve has the text messages from. And that made her even more emotional. And I just felt awful for her.
So, but Hannah found out about, you know, she found out about Haley from the People story too, right? This is the story. And she has since called off the engagement.
Yes. They're still together, apparently, but they are no longer engaged.
This is all unconfirmed, but the Haley stuff is all true.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, that's a wild twist, right? That that she called off the, like, they get engaged and she calls off the engagement?
For sure. I even texted you, Liam, that this might be the most dramatic season yet.
Right? This is all to say, watching Jed on this date, watching him pull into first place, like this was the episode where Jed was like, oh, it's going to be Jed now.
Yeah.
And then knowing what happens. What do you think, Jacqueline?
What I found especially interesting was that these episodes are edited immediately before they air. And so the editors can easily change things as outside information comes to light. So I was watching it wondering if they have some sort of plan for his character development or for their relationship. I mean, it's impossible to tell from this one episode. It's just a question I have in my head going forward. Mm-hmm. Like every time they show Jed, you know, are they playing him up in some way to make him seem hypocritical? Mm-hmm. Did this come out before or after last episode?
Before.
So even last episode, I was wondering if they intentionally put all that music-y stuff in to make him seem like he was there for fame.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just an interesting question to ask going forward. Because, I mean, they did that in Ari's season, right? Like, Lauren was essentially a ghost in the first few episodes. And then they had to make her much more prominent going forward. Obviously, she was the runner-up, so she was prominent to begin with. But they had to, you know, they had to really bolster that relationship.
Yeah.
So... And I mean that happened mid-airing when he switched gears. So that was, I mean, literally they had to edit the show differently, and that's very likely going on now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it'll be very, very interesting to see how this unfolds because it's going to affect the outcome of the show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's odd that she broke off the engagement but they're still dating. I don't know what that
Yeah,
means?
That's not going to last. That's a
Yeah, well, I mean it's a symbolic gesture and I don't know. I mean it makes sense in a way. It'd be like, look, I can't promise you forever, but let's keep going. In a way it makes perfect sense, which is that people don't typically do that. So it's sort of unprecedented. I mean, yeah. Like I don't know what I would derive from a partner saying like, we're not engaged anymore, but let's keep dating. And when you have the extra added layer of we have to role model, you know, I mean, I always felt bad for Becca Kufrin when Garrett was caught up in that, Instagram meme controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had very different political views, but she also was like a role model, especially for her political views. And so she was put in a really difficult position where she's in love with this person, understands him and believes him and thinks that he's a good person. But also is being called upon by all these people to denounce his behavior. And it's like, well, what, you know, what are you supposed to do in that situation? And I'm wondering if Hannah's in a similar boat.
Yeah, right, right. Because
she has to do something, but she doesn't want to end her relationship because she has, at this point, something very deep with him and very real. And, you know, the past is a very muddy past, especially when it comes to this show.
Yeah.
So it's, what does she do that's a compromise? So I'm wondering if it's that or if it's a sort of a sensible, like, I don't trust you anymore, but we're in this thing and I still want to rebuild something.
Yeah.
It could be either.
Yeah, like, let's pump the brakes a little bit. You know, we're in the real world now.
Yeah.
We don't have to get engaged so quickly. You know, we're still getting to know each other. Obviously, we're still getting to know each other because I didn't know about this. And even, like, I still don't think what Jed did... I mean, he didn't. It sounds like he didn't break up with this girl. Like, it sounds like he was in a relationship with this girl when he went on the show. But
I mean, like, last week with the limited information, I didn't think it was that bad because I was like, oh, they were dating for a couple months and then he pressed pause or whatever and went on the show. I mean, that kind of thing happens. But I saw a little bit of the article where it looks like he told her he loved her. I mean, once you pass that bridge, like, that's crossing the Rubicon. So I don't know. Why? I mean, he at least shouldn't have ghosted her.
Yeah.
It's pretty shitty.
Yes, you could say, well, he can't, but he also can't say, hey, I'm engaged now.
But it's happened on this show. I mean, Jordan Kimball had a girlfriend when he went on Paradise, got engaged to Jenna, and then the day they were engaged, had to break up with his girlfriend over the phone while Jenna was in the room.
Brutal.
Yeah, and she's publicized that information, so it's whatever.
Yeah.
It happens because people go on for business reasons, as Jed said that he did.
Yeah.
And then you get caught up in everything. But you still do have a responsibility to other people out in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't even necessarily think Jed is insincere. Like, maybe he really does have these feelings for Hannah. I mean, obviously, there's something there between them because Hannah is completely, you know, head over heels about this dude.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm kind of tired of talking about Jed on this episode. Thank you, Eliza.
You're welcome.
And we
can we talk about Hannah in relation to Jed, that date?
Yeah.
What I found really interesting about this date, once again, I think that Jed is like, doesn't really have a personality. So I don't find him that interesting to watch, but it was interesting how the script was flipped and suddenly he was asking her to be open and emotional. I mean, he was playing Bachelor. And she was the contestant, and she was being asked to be open and vulnerable. I don't know. That was just a really interesting moment where, again, Hannah seems like, you know, in most seasons, the lead bleeds to the background. It's all about the contestants. In this season, it's all Hannah, Hannah, Hannah. And it was like she was a contestant again.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was like she was giving him more, you know?
Right, right. It's also kind of interesting to me how she can be so transfixed by Luke and Jed at the same time. I mean, she's chosen her winner. And she's going to have other people who confuse her and tempt her. But Luke is such a thorn in her side that it's like, once you've chosen your winner, why do you keep the thorn around? At this point, I'm kind of wondering if there's producer influence, but at the same, I don't know.
But she, I don't know. She really does seem to like him. I don't know.
I mean, I found absolutely every episode very, very convincing until this one. It's not that I think that there's producer manipulation. I'm just, not manipulation, but convincing. You know, sometimes they literally tell the lead, you have to keep this person on. I mean, that's just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It could have happened here, but that doesn't usually happen until, like, into the final four.
Right.
And she clearly keeps him around another week. Yeah. So something's going on. But it's just, I mean, at this point, they're not talking about anything. And I don't know. We can save this for the Luke portion.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so just, we're going
to... It's weird that she's so sold on Jed, and yet she's still keeping this other guy around. Because it's like, Hannah, you know, you're in the home stretch. Like, what's this? Why are you keeping this other person who's clearly dying off?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, maybe she's just waiting for him to... she's waiting for him to truly disqualify himself. I don't know. So we're going to take a break. We'll talk about a little bit more after this. All right, Jacqueline, we're going to talk quickly about some of the other guys. to her date with Mike. The best moment of her date with Mike, and one of my favorite moments of the season, was Hannah crying while looking at Dutch Masters. It was so luxurious.
Oh, excellent. But the best moment was when she compared herself to St. Catherine while saying goodbye to Mike. Did you catch that?
Amazing.
Amazing. She's like, all these men were behind her. She was holding a sword, and I just felt like that was me. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah, a sword and a Bible.
I don't know anything about St. Catherine, but I'm guessing that her problems extended past having too many men to choose from.
it was just beautiful. I don't know. It was like this is like something out of Game of Thrones, like with the cello score and the tears and the beauty. It was great.
I liked when the editors have a sense of humor, you know, because what had happened was she just got out of another interview with Bill Dixon, right? And so then they're like, do a contemplation shot. And so she goes into this hallway completely messed up after her interview, talking about Mike and how she knows she's going to dump him. And they're like, just stare at these paintings. And they probably mentioned something like, look at this woman with a bunch of men, and like, she has to cut off one of their heads, which is what she, and so then she empathized with it a little bit too much and a little bit too little, you know, and then just the tears kept streaming, and the editors were just like, this is so good. This is so good. Yeah. And yeah, and they had a heyday.
I loved it. I loved it. And then this is a great episode. There's great stuff. And then the other thing was, we knew Mike was finished when he said, my wife. And Hannah made a face like,
the race issue is big on the show. And I really did not like it with Mike, because it was clear that she was not into him for weeks. And I mean, they kept it around. It was just so clear and so uncomfortable that he was kept around longer than she wanted him to be there. I mean, like, literally every time she had to kiss him, she seemed uncomfortable. And how shitty is that to watch? And it's not, I didn't like that. It's disrespectful to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mike deserves better.
Yeah. Mike does deserve better. And it's, you know, and like, these people, they do get in your head. I mean, he obviously thought there was something going on with them. They probably enhanced it. I mean, he probably saw the writing on the wall a little bit more than it seemed like on the show, but there were obviously quotes that made him seem like he was really invested in this and believing in it more than he probably should have. And it was just painful.
Yeah. So, Tyler, typically strong showing from Tyler.
Yeah, I thought he was going to whatever.
Talked about his parents' divorce. Talked about his parents. Did I say divorce?
Divorce.
It's parents' divorce. he always talks about his pops. He calls his dad his pops. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I thought it was kind of a moving divorce story, you know?
Do you know what
his pops bought the house that he'd always dreamed of, and then the market collapsed and his parents got divorced. That's a sad story.
I thought that Tyler... I thought this was a bit of an empty episode for him, actually, but what I did like is that I figured out that he looks like a cross between Patrick Swayze and Sylvester Stallone and someone else who's really hot.
Hmm.
But there's like, there's elements of those two people, because he looks like a classic Hollywood figure with a little bit of Sylvester's like.
I don't see any Sylvester Stallone, but really? Sylvester Stallone is also short.
No, not his height.
He's
his
a short
face.
King.
His kind of claymation, like, punched in face a little bit.
I don't know. Next time I'll watch Tyler for some Sly Stallone. I don't know. I haven't seen that. I don't know. He definitely looks like he has a very Hollywood look for sure.
Right.
And then Connor, it was too little too late from Connor.
Right. Yeah.
Now, is it better to be eliminated in a private conversation like this or during a rose ceremony?
I don't know. I think that he went in with a decent strategy, which was, I can't get my one-on-one time with her otherwise, so I'll try to get it now. But she had already made up her mind. And so, like, yeah. it was just too easy for her to, like... Or it was too hard for her to have a conversation with her where she kept him around and then had to dump him later. So,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But it's hard when you're in it. I mean, you don't really... Sometimes you know where you stack up and sometimes you don't. It was hard in my season because Ari's season was actually very linear. Like, he wasn't showing preferential treatment to any particular person. So it's kind of hard to relate because she clearly is. She's clearly showing preferential treatment to Jed and Tyler. And Luke.
Yeah. And also Connor, I think he doesn't have the, you know, kind of assertive personality to compete for attention with these other guys.
No, but so you never know what's happening off camera. Like the editors rewrite the story afterwards. He could be having amazing one-on-one time with her throughout, and you would never know. But they know
he wasn't, though.
No, he wasn't, but he could have been. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm biased because of my experience, but once they have their top four, they have a time limit, right? They're like, we have our top four, and we have our villain, and we have our counter villain, like the person who's going to challenge the villain constantly. That's six people already that they need to give significant camera time to. So you may have somebody, yeah, you know, with a good story, with a good connection, whatever, but they just don't have time to show that narrative. And you could have somebody in the top four who's pretty boring, but because they made it to the top four, they have to give that person time. So you don't really know. That's why I feel bad with like Dylan and Dustin characters. They had a story with her. They weren't just like dragged along for no reason. But you know, they're going to get less time than somebody who, you know, like Cam, who ruffled feathers in the beginning and was entertaining. So a lot of people with good connections get lost. Like me.
Oh, he'll probably be in Paradise though, so he'll get his shot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then there was a group date, and they're doing something interesting. Like, this is a new format that they started doing last season, which I think it kind of happened sort of organically. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't necessarily plan it last season, but then it worked, so they did it again this season, where a group of three evolves into a two-on-one. Like, so there's no designated two-on-one like there used to
be. Well, do you know what's fascinating about this, though, is that both of these seasons, I exited. Well, you know, because this happened on my season. Are you talking, is this the last season you're talking about, or did this happen on Colton's, too?
This happened on Colton's. So on Colton's, it was...
It was
a group date of four, and then it got whittled down to three, and then it was Hannah G, Cassie, and Kirpa. And he gave the rose to Hannah G before dinner, and then it was Cassie and Kirpa. And then this season it was, she let Pilot Peter go, and then it was Garrett. And
that Lee. Also happened on Ari's. He gave it to Kendall, and then it was Tia versus Becca, who were having a feud.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, so I'm wrong. Don't listen to me.
But all I was saying, so I thought you were just talking about those two seasons, in which case both Connor and I defected. And so then you had a very clean three people. You could give it to the safe person and then have the two feuding people.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very clean and possibly planned. You never know. But yeah, yeah, it's a new trend.
Yeah. Maybe it's just that there's no two-on-one. Maybe that's just what I'm picking up on.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was a great date, though, because Garrett just trying to psych Luke out and succeeding, because all he had to do was just stare at him and smile. It was really, really funny.
Yeah. This was the first week, though, I was not happy that Luke got the rose. I was like, I'm kind of over this dude. I mean, I'm glad we get to see the big Hannah, like, woman empowerment moment with the slut shaming and everything. But this, like, it's the same conversation every time. And it's getting tiring now. And I'm not.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. We're over.
And I liked.
Hannah seems a little over.
I liked Garrett in this episode. So I was just like, damn it. You know, because before we were just sacrificing people that weren't getting any screen time. So it wasn't that big of a deal, and it was better to keep seeing this like connection of the person you know you shouldn't like, but you do. And now I'm like, you know who you're gonna pick Jed.
Yeah. And also, we're at hometowns now, so the conflict between guys is over.
Yeah, yeah.
They won't be together anymore.
So yeah, so no drama with the dudes. I mean, it's kind of cool because that's been so played out at this point. And so now we can like really see what's legit between the two of them. But what bothers me is that they have not had any conversation besides Garrett said this in like four episodes, except today he said that he had a shower and saw probably St. Catherine. I mean, it was like,
God talked to him in the shower, but we already knew that. So that wasn't even new information. We knew that since the premiere. Oh yeah.
Man.
That was part of his intro package, that God talked to him in the shower.
Yeah. He was like, it's not like I became a perfect person overnight. It took some time, but here I am.
And Hannah was like, uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You're not a perfect person. So that's it. Next week, hometowns. We're in the home stretch here.
Do you like the hometowns episode?
Sometimes.
I think it's one of the most boring episodes of the season. I also think it's one of the most important, so I suffer through it. But it is slow.
Sometimes. I think the best sequence I've ever seen on this show, outside of Ari and Becca's breakup, was Rachel and Dean's hometown date. You remember
with
that?
The mung beans.
Yeah. So that, if it's like that, it'll be great. But very often it's very boring.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, I think Luke's will be interesting. He's probably got an interesting family. We'll try to glean whatever insight we can about this guy from his family.
I mean, from the preview, it seemed like even his dad kind of hates him, so.
That would make sense, actually. If he probably has like a very intense sports dad, would be my guess.
Yeah, his dad's probably like 5'10", looks down on him.
We'll see what happens. But until then, I'm Liam Matthews.
I'm Jacqueline Trumbull.
This has been a beautiful podcast to fall in love. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Bye.
Whether it's a new Netflix original, the latest season of a long-running network drama, or a reevaluation of a legendary comedy series, TV Guide is the place for fans to come and find out about their favorite shows and movies. And with our help, discover some new favorites as well. From our Watch This Now recommendations and newsletter to our WTF Just Happened video series, TV Guide is the premier hub for people who love TV as much as we all do to come and hang out. Visit us at TVGuide.com, follow us on social media at TV Guide, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TV Guide, for all this great free content. And let us help you find your next binge.